with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo.
Hey,
yo. Addy. I'm Mo.
You are Mo.
It's a coincidence because this is a podcast by Addy and Mo.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
And well, also a coincidence that we just watched the New World Order documentary.
Hey, yo.
That we say, hey, yo.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk a little bit about it.
Okay.
It was really good.
It was really good. I don't even know when it comes out.
Yeah, we got, of course, an advanced screener copy as podcast reviewers.
Yes.
So that was cool. Then they send that to us, and we got a chance to take a look at it, and that's cool, man. I actually recommend people buy this thing.
Yeah.
We only got the documentary. That's the only disc they sent us. I don't know what matches are on it. We probably have to look that up.
Yeah.
But it's really... Yeah, no, I think they did a really fine job. Nice for them. Thank you for putting us on the list, WWE.
That is very nice. The thing is, what about it was the interviews. It wasn't the...
Vince Russo?
Vince Russo, Lex Luger, new interviews.
I thought that was Lex Luger's mother.
Hmm?
I thought that was Lex Luger's mother.
Yeah. Are they the same?
They looked like it there.
They didn't interview Judy Bagwell, which was disappointing.
Or Buff, but he couldn't cross the state lines.
No. Was on a program.
But Lex Luger, the road has owned him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, and I mean, Bill DeMotte was a big part of this as well, Billy Kidman.
You mean Danny Doring?
Danny Doring, yes.
Yeah, they look like.
Booker T was on there. They had some older interviews from, you know, Hall, and new stuff from Nash, but old stuff from Nash as well. Some new stuff with Matt Stryker and Dusty and Ted DiBiase.
Matt Stryker was hilarious.
Oh, God. Mid-Arc.
Yeah, just a bit. Yeah, I always say he was never there, so he would talk about it like NWO was the most important thing to ever happen to wrestling.
Yes.
When they came on, I think you put down the remote. In fact, when the NWO came on, I think the entire world put down the remote.
The entire world put down the remote control when the New World Order was on your television.
Yeah. It's just a bit of a mark. Holy shit.
Oh, fuck.
Luger, like we say, he looked old. Russo, the big question is, he was there and he was only on for like two lines.
Yeah, he had two quick segments.
One of them which already made us laugh our ass off.
Oh, yes, yes. When he's talking about the last incarnation of the NWO, the silver and black version with like Jeff Jarrett and Bret Hart.
In WCW.
In WCW, yes, I guess. And he said, then Bret Hart, he got hurt shortly after. It just wasn't going to work without Bret.
I think NWO, it's Bret.
Anybody could see why the New World Order wouldn't have worked without Bret Hart.
Oh, jeez.
Clearly. But that was
the thing is, probably the documentary is about half as long as it should be. What was it, just over 60 minutes?
Yeah, it's about 65, I think, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, like the stuff on Hart, the stuff on the... they didn't talk about the fuck-up of the Sting and Hogan Starcade match at all. They showed the finger pokes of Doom, and they just said there was a lot of... Well, Nash said there's a lot of just stupid mistakes happening now.
Yes, never.
He couldn't come up, never mentioning that he was the one who did that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they could have gone into detail of a lot of these events a lot more, so that is probably the downfall.
And they didn't really...
But the 65 minutes was good.
They didn't talk about... They talked about a little bit about NWO Nitro, but not really how that was the sort of the first crack in the armor. Of course, they admitted that the first major mistake was NWO sold out. Nash had said the first major blunder, but the first blunder was that just a few weeks earlier on NWO Nitro.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
When Raw, that was the first quarter hour that they won head-to-head since the NWO formed. But, and I mean, just some things, but I mean, and I thought they spent a little bit too much time on Dennis Rodman.
Oh, yeah, they definitely,
you know,
they definitely.
I mean, it's an important part to mention, but, you know, if five of the 65 minutes were on one person, it didn't need to be about Dennis Rodman.
No. And then they just really quickly went over Jay Leno.
Yeah.
They didn't mention that was a fuck-up.
No, they didn't. They said he worked really hard.
Yeah. Well, DDP said that.
Of course he did.
He wants to be on the show again.
Speaking of the road has owned you,
DDP,
oh, my goodness.
Well, the road owned him before he started wrestling.
Mm-hmm. But he always really looked like in decent shape, you know? He looked like a good, old-shaped guy. He looks like he's getting that, turkey neck.
Well, yeah, it happens. You know,
happens when you turn 75.
You're 75, yeah. Or when you're a 75-year-old woman like DDP. Yeah, that will occur.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, the Road definitely owned him. But, I mean, so a good mix of some things. I mean, a
couple things I want to go over, just quickly coming out of that. Number one, Scott Hall.
Yeah.
When he jumped there, he became a much bigger star by jumping than he was in WWE.
Yeah.
Four-time Intercontinental Championship back when the IC belt meant something. I think that might have been a record at the time for a win.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. I mean, now you have people like Chris Jericho, who's at 1,400, you know.
I believe Damian Sandow is a four-time Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't mean much now, but if he had stuck with the WWE, what would have his legacy been? How big of a star with the WWF, WWE, would he have gone down to historically, is my question for you.
Oh, well, there's a few, I think largely the same. When you talk about him being a much bigger star, he was featured a lot more prominently in the WCW. But had he stayed and everything played out the way it did with Austin and things, I mean, I guess that's part of it, is that without Hall and Nash leaving and Hogan going heel and starting the whole thing, I mean, Hogan... I guess the other question that spurns off that is, if Hogan had just gone heel, would Nitro have taken off?
Not to the same level. It would have helped.
Yeah.
It would have helped. But not to the same level.
But so, I mean, if Hall and Nash don't go over and Vince gets killed, he doesn't probably then look to Steve Austin and that Attitude Era to make that change, because he just would have continued along the same old, right? So the only way I see Nash on this, or Hall on probably a same plane, is if he got to work with Austin. If Austin becomes hot and Scott Hall, Razor Ramon is one of the heels.
I think Austin still becomes hot because he's Austin. He was like he still would have got hot, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I
think if Hall got to be one of his heel foils, he could have been something.
Yeah, he probably could have been. He would have probably been, if he had become the heel foil, though I wonder if it would have kept somebody else who ascended during that era down.
Well, I look at him probably in the kind of in the Vader spot, right?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, somewhere in that range, you know. So or instead of, maybe it was Scott Hall instead of Psycho Sid.
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe.
That got that, and it probably would have been given the
fact
that...
Well, the thing is, at the time he left...
But Sean would have played with his friends.
Yeah.
So it would have been Hall probably hitting Jose Lothario with the camera.
Well, the thing is, at the time that he left, or the time that he was signing that contract, and, you know, less dates, more money, right? But
right.
At the time that he's doing that, Bret Hart was writing the Calgary Sun how, if he can, I think it was like if he faced Vader, he's probably next in line for a belt, and they weren't sure at the time if he was going to stay or go yet. And then he was going to go, or something like that. I just remember.
Well, his last pay per view appearance there was against
Vader.
Putting Vader
on the way out the door.
Yeah.
Not that hurt him going to WCW in the least.
No.
But yeah, I mean, I do remember there was a point where Bret Hart was thinking he should be the next guy to challenge. He would have started to get. The question is, would he have gotten two or three title reigns back when the belt still meant something in that era?
No. He would have got two or three title reigns when the belt started to not mean as much.
Yeah, maybe.
As I said, I basically put him in for Sid.
Yeah.
So if Sid's a three-time champion or two-time champion or whatever, that's where I would see Scott Hall.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably.
So.
So actually, he probably is a bigger star then. He's a bigger star for leaving. His legacy is bigger.
His legacy is definitely bigger that he left. Yeah, I mean,
okay.
And it's funny you say that because it's really his thing is the mouthpiece, the hey yo, the one of the top original three of the NWO. But I mean, you look, he was a four-time Intercontinental Champion. He was only a U.S. and Tag Champion,
yeah.
Maybe a TV Champion perhaps.
He never won the belt over there.
What?
He never won the belt.
No, he was never more.
In fact, your blog talking about a five man who didn't win the world title.
Yeah,
he was
the guy.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, he. That's the thing is that he had a similar, I guess, on paper level of success.
Yeah.
In both companies.
Yeah.
But
for sure.
A lot of that is largely demons, and giving a short run. you know, a couple world title run in, you know, 97, 98 with WWF, that, you know, demons or no demons, you know, I mean, Sid likes softball. So, I mean, he got a couple runs, so.
Yeah. No, you're right. Okay, yeah. then my other question for
Sid
you
is. Sid likes a softball, Hall likes an eight ball.
My other question for you then is coming out of this. It's just we look at them in the first 6 months or whatever, and they had good heel heat. They were cool heels with good heel heat.
Yeah.
Can a cool heel work today?
Well,
and draw heat?
Again, I think the NWO proved that cool heels can't draw heel heat long term. And that's kind of more of the issue, I think, to me.
I disagree with that. I think cool heels, the way they were booked, can't, because they were cool heels, so they were. If their baby faces are also cool, it'd be different.
Well, nobody likes to see their friends fight. That was Matt Stryker's comment for Sting versus Hogan, that the NWO was getting cheered and Sting was getting cheered.
Yeah, I thought that was Cody Rhodes who said that.
No, it was Stryker.
It was a Stryker?
Oh,
sounded like something Stryker said.
Yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, I mean, if the baby faces were cooler, but I just mean, also, if they, as the cool heels, if they had stayed with the heel persona of just being complete pricks.
Yeah.
Instead of doing things that would, saying things that would get you cheered.
The thing is,
it's different to be cool and still be a complete prick and not likable.
The thing is, we talk about the NWO being cool heels. The Outsiders were cool heels. Hogan was still being booed. Hogan was never a cool
Hogan
heel.
Hogan was never a cool heel.
I mean, there's some pictures video in this documentary. And I remember one of them is Hulk Hogan at whatever he is, I mean, however long ago, let's say he's at 15 years ago now, mm-hmm. So he would have been, what, 52? Right? Standing there in a flannel shirt that looks kind of like the one I've got on right now.
Yeah.
Sunglasses and, like, a toque. Like he's wearing, like, 15-year-old, like, he's a 15-year-old skater gear, and he's 52. Like, I just took one look at him. What a
probably
fucking
is a 52.
Tool.
Legitimately, 15 years ago, he's not 67. He's not as old as Vince. I think he's 62. So he would have been, like, 47, though.
Okay, so
45. Let's just say 45.
45, okay. Acting a third of his age.
Yeah.
But he just looked like such a tool.
Yeah, he absolutely
did.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you know. It really was. That was kind of the epitome. And some of the stuff that he said, you know, when they're talking about. Hall talks, or Nash rather, talks about how they're going to do these little snippet, keep it real promos, and Hogan comes out and cuts like a you know, this long wrestling promo. He's like, this is Memphis. And he's like, this isn't going to work. And then that's Eric Bischoff said, edited it into these snippets.
Yeah.
You can hear Hogan like, you know, NWO is taking over. I hope you don't mind, brother. Like he's
well, just, once he started to get, though, what they were doing, and he changed, he did adjust his promo style to the same way that Nash and Hall were doing it. But again, he was always trying a little too hard.
Oh, a lot too hard. I mean, it was one of the ones he's like, here's the NWO. It's like, Johnny Carson hadn't been relevant in even 10 years from then.
Yeah.
So, it's like, come on. You know?
Yeah, I think it was more of a Jack Nicholson.
From The Shining. Okay, so, when you know, an equally as old movie.
Yeah, but at least it was a classic movie. So,
well,
everybody knows the line.
Yeah.
But regardless, I know what you're saying. I get what you're saying, yeah. So, I mean, but, yeah, that's the question, though, is can a, like, I think the guy that, but he didn't draw enough heat, or quite work, Randy Orton as a cool heel was close.
Yeah, that was getting there.
Edge, I think, was generally a cool heel, though he was a complete slimy prick who was cool. He was the rated R superstar, but he was a complete slimy prick.
Yes, that's
so
true.
So, I do think
that's
it's possible.
That's probably the last one to work, actually.
That's probably, yeah. So, I mean, can we see it now? Could we see that? That's the question. Do we see somebody who knows how to be a cool heel for an extended period? Because right now the closest guy, I'd say, to a cool heel who's working is probably Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett's pretty cool.
Yeah, Wade Barrett's pretty cool. CM Punk was pretty cool there for a while, too, as a heel. Not, I mean, around that Nexus-type SES type area, like in between there, before he made the promo.
Back when it was, yeah, exactly.
Randall Keith Orton thing.
Yeah.
He was doing that run there. But again, all little snippets. And so Edge is probably the one that's done it longest, like had the biggest run as that, the lengthiest run in a while.
Yeah.
But anything is possible, but I think in today's, right now, I say no. And the only reason is because if you're a cool heel right now, you're going to start to get cheered, right? And you're going to, and guys, people
not
are going
to get... Not if you do it right. I still think it's possible. But my, I mean, they don't, part of the problem WWE, and we talk about the product going down, and we talk about Ryback pushing all this and that. One of the things they don't have is a single cool person. John Cena is not cool.
That's what I mean. So as soon as that cool heel comes in and becomes cool... He's going to get cheered, and they're going to immediately turn him face, and he's going to become a cool face, you know? And so that's because
but
they have
I mean,
nobody right
but
now.
But, I mean, they need somebody that's cool. Like I say, John Cena's not cool.
Carlito?
CM Punk was cool when he cut that promo, and for a little while afterwards.
Yeah.
And then they softened his character, and he started cutting WWE scripted promos instead of his own promos, and he stopped being cool.
Oh, and then don't forget Pedigree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they don't have anybody cool on their roster. Like I say, I think Wade Barrett is probably the coolest guy right now they have.
Yeah, I think so.
But he's, I mean, you know, Sheamus is not cool.
No.
Big Show is not cool. Randy Orton really isn't that cool right now. Miz sure as hell isn't cool.
Daniel
Ryback
Bryan.
Is not cool.
Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan is far from, he's a geek.
Yeah.
You know, it works, but.
He's a geeky.
One of the things about the WWE product not being cool. Is that the guys aren't, like, I mean, we talk about it. NWO was cool.
Yeah.
Hall and Nash were cool.
Yeah.
Because Hall and Nash were cool, WCW and the product and Nitro was cool.
Right.
Steve Austin was cool. The Rock was cool. So all of WWE was cool because of it. You could go wearing a WWE shirt, and that was cooler if you wore an NWO in WCW or an Austin shirt. But you could get away with working or with wearing a Godfather shirt, even though he wasn't as cool. Because WWE was cool.
Godfather was cool.
Oh, you're right. Godfather's pretty fucking cool.
The Brood.
The Brood. Yeah, you could get away. That's probably a better example. You could get away with wearing a Brood shirt.
I'll give you an example. I own a Val Venus t-shirt.
Exactly. No, but it's true. This is exactly it. I mean, you could get away with having a shirt of somebody not as cool because the product was cool based on those guys. But if your lead stars aren't cool, you're not going to be cool.
That's right.
And WWE hasn't been cool for a long time, and John Cena will never be cool.
No, that's it, exactly. He's not. And so that's... And we talked about, you know, Vince McMahon and the guy.
Ryback will never be cool.
No, that's right. But no, we talk about... Oh, well, yeah, Ryback is not Goldberg. Goldberg was cool.
Goldberg was a lot cooler than Ryback.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, Vince McMahon, we always talk about the guy. You know, goes with Hogan, goes with... Brett goes with Sean, goes with Brock, awesome, whatever. See, he has his guy that he's running with. And that's just it. Sean wasn't cool, right? Brett wasn't cool. So they didn't have that.
They weren't. I mean,
you know,
Sean was cooler until he turned babyface. Brett was cooler after he turned heel.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean,
when they were the lead guys,
the guy,
they weren't cool.
No, and Diesel was not cool.
No.
Big Daddy Cool was not cool.
No.
You know,
Brett would have been the coolest of all of them. And guess what? He was the best draw of the three of them at that era.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you know,
that kind of gives you, you know, all you need to know there. But that's it. As the top guy, as cool as the top guy is, tends to be the buzz around the company, right?
It really does.
And so, now, that said, do you see anybody? You said Wade Barrett's the...
Wade Barrett's probably the coolest guy ever.
I
never looked at him. But even he's not... I mean, with that beard now and just the, you know, he looks rough, the tattoos and...
Yeah.
He looks like a legitimate... I don't think it's so much that he's cool. It's that he looks though like a throwback to a 70s tough guy.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of gives him a cool aura. Sorry.
Yeah.
So I think that helps. But, you know, and he's not kissing ass.
No, that's right.
That said, no, there's nobody who...
Someone's going to have to lock into something.
Well, no, if they had let CM Punk legitimately by himself as a guy... It's fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had let CM Punk be as cool as he could be, that might be different.
Yeah.
But they never did.
No. But that said,
so,
I mean...
That said, I don't see anybody on the roster. But then again, we don't know who's cool backstage. Like, I mean, you know.
Well, and like I said, I look at, you know, the Ringmaster wasn't cool.
Fuck no.
You know, no. Rocky Maivia was
fucking
cool.
the, you know, he was geekier than Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, I mean, those sorts of things can change. It, you know, it's possible. So there may be somebody on the roster
Diamond
right
Stud
now.
Was not cool.
No, exactly. There may be someone.
Oz? Pretty fucking cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Master Blaster. the Mohawk. But no, I think there may be somebody on the roster, right? That,
yeah, there may
you
be.
Know, that we that just need something, you know, to be themselves or to get a tweak or something.
Now, that said, I mean, and there are people that are cool.
Yeah.
In popular culture right now, you look at some of the biggest stars in movies, some of the biggest stars in music, and you still look at those guys and go, that guy's fucking cool. That is part of the factor. When we saw, what was his name at WrestleMania? I can't remember the guy.
Flo Rida.
Flo Rida's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, he's just got that vibe, right?
Yeah.
And more so than WWE stars have. So, again.
Well, not more than Heath Slater.
So, again, though, I mean, you're not going to have a guy who's 67 is going to go, fuck, that guy's cool.
Yeah.
Like, he's not. He's 67. He doesn't get what's cool right now. So somebody needs to, and I'm not sure Hunter in, you know, his mid-40s or whatever he's getting to be, or older even.
Oh, you mean the diehard fan of Motorhead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I don't know that he's not exactly going to be able to recognize it either. Because he's almost the age of when Sean and Hunter told Vince that you can't tell us what's cool.
So do you think, now, I just thought of this now, but so do you think that the best, on and I'm being
very serious.
We're
going to have to redo the write-up because we've gone off
the
whole
fucking
tangent.
But do you realize that, and I'm being completely serious when I say this, do you think that in some level the best hope for this product then is when Aurora Rose is 9 years old? So that they can draw on, this is what's cool at my daughter's school and we got to use this.
I think there might be something to that,
yeah.
Like I actually think there might be something to that.
They're so far removed
nine
from it.
Nine might not be, she's probably nine now.
Yeah, maybe. So in 9, 10, 11, I mean, like in that kind of.
But in a little while, that might be, she might have a better, I mean, I don't know her personality. I mean, if she's.
Yeah, maybe
know,
she's a loser.
Seriously, you know, you don't know. Maybe she's, you know, maybe she's into classical music. I could tell you.
Yeah.
That said, there's a good. I think that's probably. I think there might be something to that. Yeah. I think that's an interesting concept.
Because there's two parts to that, right? As you, like you said, I mean, she's got to at least, you know, be a cool kid or be around cool kids.
Understand it. Get it.
Yeah, understand it. And the other tangent is that Hunter and Stephanie have to actually pick up on that.
They do.
You know?
They do. They have to understand the difference.
I would think Stephanie would.
Maybe.
It seems to be kind of in that.
Maybe. I'm not sure how old she is. So she's, you know, probably mid-30s.
She's like 36, 35, yeah, probably, yeah. I think. So.
But again, though, I mean, it's like Justin Bieber is incredibly popular, but he's not cool.
You know what's cool?
So
ballroom dancing.
So if you know, Aurora Rose is perhaps a fan of Justin Bieber, but, again, that would be somebody who's popular but not somebody who's cool. There's Justin Bieber, and then there's people that are cool.
But, I think,
right?
Again, they get, I mean, they at least somewhat get it to the point where they've done a lot better in the last few years of their WrestleMania musical celebrity
since
type
big
things.
Time?
Right?
Since
ever since Big Time. But, I mean, and even then they had a backstep with Kid Rock, right,
yeah.
Who, again,
yeah.
People know, but it wasn't really, really popular.
It wasn't cool,
cool,
yeah.
Right? Flo Rida, yes, I mean, they had that other guy, that Machine Gun Kelly.
Machine Gun Kelly,
I mean,
yeah.
I didn't know who he was, but then I recognized the song that
yeah,
he sang.
Exactly.
I was like, oh, okay, that's him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so it they at least have flashes where they can
they,
do that.
For WrestleMania, they're
yeah.
really looking at what's cool. But as far as knowing what's cool in popular culture,
yeah.
Like in the entire the UFC craze has come and gone.
Yeah.
They missed out on it.
They
UFC
did.
Was hyper cool.
Yeah.
It's not so cool anymore. It's, you know, whatever.
It's around, yeah.
Yeah, it's around. It's still got its place. It's still more popular in a lot of ways than WWE, but it never became mainstream to the level of, you know.
Well, I think it is kind of mainstream, but it never became.
Not to the level of some of these other things.
Well, no, but I mean, it's it's boxing.
Yeah, exactly. But it became, it didn't become, like, when I say it didn't become mainstream, not to the level of, say, it didn't become mainstream even to, see, and here I'm going to look fucking way out of it. When Jimmy Connors and John McEnroe, okay, when tennis was at its height.
Steffi Graf and Martina Navratilova?
Not as big. When those guys were in their height, tennis was mainstream.
My penis.
Right? Everybody knew what tennis was. It was mainstream. UFC became mainstream to people who knew what cool was. But
yeah.
Not mainstream to the point where it was household names all the way across.
Yeah, okay. That's, yeah.
And so that's kind of my point. But the point is, though, that to people who are cool and understood cool and were spending money, the craze has already kind of come at its height and is on its way down. And WWE didn't fucking recognize it in the least.
No.
Now we have to see what the next thing is, and hopefully next time they recognize it. But again, it starts with understanding cool in pop culture and understanding who's cool in the backstage and letting that guy be fucking cool on TV.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Damian Sandow, as much as I like the guy, that's not a cool gimmick.
No.
And it's never going to be cool. And that's okay. It has its place.
Yeah.
But you can't have, you know...
The thing is, I mean, it probably is going to end up being someone in the ilk of Michael McGillicuddy.
Yeah.
Who, again, we say not cool. That's not a cool name. But he was Joe Henning in this NWO DVD.
Absolutely.
They called him Joe Henning, and there he was. But, I mean, it's somewhere in that there, you know.
Cody Rhodes, to me, is a better example. He hasn't been a player completely buried. He's still young. He's 26. He probably knows what's cool. He might be a lot cooler. He's too busy playing. I think he kind of falls under that Miz thing of playing pro wrestler. He's got that acting background.
Well, and you say Cody Rhodes,
he had
a very big part of this DVD.
He did,
you know,
absolutely.
Or this documentary. And, I mean, he was, he even said, he was at Bash on the Beach when Hogan turned heel. He was there. And he was around being Dusty's son, that he was around that time period and living it. And
yep.
The guy said get to hang around with DDP and Karl Malone and such when they were doing that. But he's another guy. I watched a thing on YouTube, and it just happened to be this. I don't even know. It was Cody Rhodes and Hornswoggle being interviewed by some local news guy because they were in, like, Hornswoggle's hometown for, like, a house show or something, or a SmackDown. I don't even remember where it was. It's in Massachusetts somewhere. Anyway, and so it sounds too. And I got to tell you, Cody Rhodes was very cool in there. Like, he was funny. He was on point. He was, you know, he wasn't burying Hornswoggle, but he was, like, ribbing him enough that, like, it was just funny. And
there's a guy,
cool,
yeah, exactly. That,
right?
That guy's cool, right?
Yeah.
Like, you need that person, but people go, that guy's cool. And John Cena, like I say, John Cena, when he was coming to the ring and rapping and saying things like, you know what, you could, as far as I'm concerned, you all better duck. If you don't like it, I don't give a. And then hold up
the
microphone.
Mic up, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
He was cool. He was rebellious.
When he was Eminem, he was cool.
Yeah.
You know, that was the thing. That's what he was doing, that battle rap early 2000s.
But in the time, it fit.
Yeah.
And he's never going to be cool again.
No. No, God, no. And then, I mean, and we look and we can sort of spurn this over into hitting a one, something we actually wrote down. But that goes to me again to Fandango.
Not cool.
Ballroom dancing is
again,
what it looks
it,
like.
It is Dancing with the Stars gimmick.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Stacey Keibler was on Dancing with the Stars when? Like 2004?
Five?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But again, it comes down to, it's okay to have a guy like him. You know, I mean, you had characters that weren't all cool in WCW. I mean, when you had The Rock, you didn't have to. I mean, Mick Foley was great because he wasn't cool.
I just kind of go back to Steve Austin's famous line, and it should be something that, I mean, wrestlers feel it, but the company needs to feel it. Writers have to feel this way as well, in that you want to be the WWF champion.
Yes.
And if you're not in it to be the WWF champion, then get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Okay. Fandango is not going to dance his way to the WWF title.
He has no chance of ever reaching
and
main eventing pay-per-view. How's that gimmick? Ever.
No. And
ever.
So, to me, as a writer, I've immediately failed.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, like I say, it's okay if you have those guys in place to create a character like this.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. That's Godfather, that's Valvinus, that's Brood.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
But
you need the characters in place first. until you have the characters that can carry the company.
Everybody should be trying to be that top guy.
But again, this comes back to the writers are coming up with this gimmick. We got to get rid of the writers. I mean, but again, I mean, even back in the 80s, they would give people gimmicks. But you know what? Mr. Perfect was pretty cool.
Yeah.
you know, the Million Dollar Man was kind of cool. The Honky Tonk Man wasn't.
Well, he kind of was. He's cool, he's cocky, he's bad.
But again, it was understanding who and what they
Jake
were.
Jake the Snake was cool in his
Jake
own way,
Jake the Snake
right?
was fuck. Randy Savage was fucking coolest. When he came in as a heel, and he was fucking fighting Ricky Steamboat, he was the fucking coolest heel in the business.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Which is why he became a cool, great babyface shortly after.
Well, that's just it. I mean, he was the guy, and we talked about it before, when you were 8, you were booing him, but the 12-year-olds and the 15-year-olds were cheering him, right? And because he was cool.
Because he was cool.
Yeah.
And that's something they're really, really missing. People that are cool. Like, I think Randy Orton and Wade Barrett might be the coolest two guys they have. And
yeah. I'm trying to think of anybody... Well, I mean, again, CM Punk is pretty cool. Not in the
current...
The
character they're making him right now is not.
You know who's pretty cool?
CM Punk, I think, is legitimately, it seems to me, the coolest guy on the roster.
Doesn't come around enough, but Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar is cool, yeah.
You know.
Oh, that's part of the reason why people pay for him in UFC and people pay for him now.
Yeah.
They may not like him, but he's fucking cool.
Yeah. And, everybody else seems to be, again, I look into a minuscule scale.
Why did I love Dave Bautista at the end?
Yeah.
Dave Bautista, when he was at the end, was a super douche.
Yes.
But he was cool.
With
the outfits. But he knew he was cooler than you.
Yeah.
You hated him because he was such a douche.
Yes.
But he was a great character. He was, as a performer, he was at his top. Because he was cool. You couldn't, it's like, I fucking hate you, but I can't deny you're fucking cool.
Yeah. But that's guys just, you know, getting a chance, and getting the crowd getting behind people is cool. I mean, the biggest thing that they've been able to do with the crowd getting behind is probably from start to finish. I mean, when you think of a major brother, right, becoming Zack Ryder. Never again, top of the card, not there, but just the evolution of someone that can be associated with the current product is Zack Ryder, where it said one of the major brothers of the Edgeheads or whatever. No. But so that's kind of a win. But that kind of shows you, when you talk about glass ceiling, I don't even know if it's a glass ceiling, but that just kind of shows you how far that you can get. And he did that himself with the show. So, I mean, that kind of just shows you where things are. I mean, I thought that for a time, Tyler Rex looked really cool. He had a cool look.
Yeah.
And then they just never used them.
Use them, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff Hardy's the coolest guy at TNA.
Yeah.
You know, and he's the most over guy.
Yeah.
You know, why has AJ Styles never become a major star? Probably he's not cool enough. Samoa Joe's pretty fucking cool. That's why he's being Teflon with how shitty he's being booked, and that he's still respected.
Matt Hardy was cool, right?
Matt Hardy was cool,
right?
That's why.
Rob Van Dam was
was fucking
cool.
You
think of all these Teflon guys, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's one factor that they seem to have.
Yeah.
A certain cool aura. You know, and what is it they say about a guy's cool? Like somebody you, and this is what they talk about with Champion, this is when it works for everybody. Somebody you want to be or want to be with.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, it's that superstar Billy Graham, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's, what is it?
Chael Sonnen is fucking cool.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
You know?
Yes. No, and so that's, I kind of look at, that's the problem, is that I don't see...
Peter DeSantos is an awesome fighter, but he's not super cool.
No.
He's not a huge draw.
That's true. There's something cool about Georges St-Pierre.
Yeah, absolutely there fucking is.
Something cool about Anderson Silva.
Yes,
right?
There is, yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, the WWF just doesn't have that right now. Cody Rhodes, you're right, is probably the best.
Think about it. Stephanie McMahon, John Cena's about to be cut. Stephanie McMahon sees him rapping. Back when it's cool, she was able enough she was still young enough and open-minded enough that she could see what was cool and recognize it.
Yeah.
I don't know that she can walk back there and see it now, and I don't think, and she's not really back there. So who's walking backstage looking at these people going, this guy's cool. See, this guy's not cool. Instead, Vince McMahon's walking past backstage and saying, that guy looks like he was carrying my groceries, and that guy looks like he could beat me up. And you know what? I guarantee you, if Daniel Bryan was pushed over for a one-year period the way Ryback's being pushed, he'd be a much bigger draw than Ryback.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I look at, I don't know that Stephanie isn't maybe that person that could still see what is cool. You don't have to, at this point, you just have to be able to recognize what the younger people are doing. And as I said, I mean, because that's going to be the only hope, is that if we look at Aurora Rose and stuff, is if they can see.
Well, how old was Sean and Hunter when they came to Vince and said, you can't tell us what's cool? You're a 50-year-old man. You can't tell us what's cool.
Yeah.
How old were they? Early 30s?
Early 30s. So Stephanie's in her, you know, mid-30s, early 30s, right? 34, 35. Then
a little different, but yeah.
You know, but she's also, but she would have been the same age as Cody Rhodes 10 years ago.
Vince should be going to guys like Cody Rhodes and the younger guys in the roster saying, what's fucking cool out there right now? What's cool?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you know what he's saying. You know what's cool? The network.
Yeah. Well, but here's another thing, though. Eric Bischoff.
Mm-hmm.
NWO was cool. Right before NWO, he's doing Blood Runs Cold.
Yes.
Based on Mortal Kombat.
Karate Fighters.
Mortal Kombat was cool 3 years earlier.
Yeah.
But he missed the boat.
Yeah.
And he thought it was still cool.
Well,
stupid and didn't get over.
Well, and part of it, again, you want to talk about Eric Bischoff, we'll transition that over to Ryback, is that the reason he thought it was cool is because Eric Bischoff was a karate guy.
Yeah.
And that's when karate was, that was the coolest karate had been in a while since the movie, Karate Kid movie, right? That was,
yeah.
Mortal Kombat was, it wasn't really karate, but they did that in terms of as karate, so that's what he was doing. Ryback, again, is your jacked up bodybuilder that when Vince doesn't know, they say, you know, Vince is a big jacked up bodybuilder, so he's going to go to that.
Yeah,
that's what he
absolutely
likes, right?
And same with Hunter.
Yeah, and Hunter's, yeah, very similar. Yeah. But Hunter, I mean, at least has a little bit, I mean, I look at Brad Maddox, and he doesn't have a bodybuilder's physique.
No, but he's handsome.
But he's a Paul. But he's a
good looking guy.
He's a Paul Levesque guy.
But he's a good looking guy, right? He looks like a TV star.
But this is someone that Hunter saw in Ohio Valley and liked.
Yeah, because he's a good looking guy. Yeah. That's what it is. He looked like a TV star to them.
I didn't say Pat Patterson. I said Hunter.
Oh, so.
But
that's true. That is true. I don't think Hunter, I mean, Hulk Hogan still looked at Rob Terry and thought, that's the guy we could build the company around. So people got around him and said, no, he's no fucking good.
Yeah.
Right? Same with Eric Bischoff, same mentality. They both looked at Rob Terry and thought, that guy, right?
Yeah.
And he's no good. Same thing. I don't think, though, Hunter might look at Ryback and go, that's good. That's what we want. But the difference between him and Vince is, I don't think he looks at Daniel Bryan and says, that guy looks like he bags my groceries. I think he looks at him and goes, that may not be what we want, but we can find a use for him.
Yeah.
Whereas Vince just goes, I don't fucking want him.
Do whatever you
want. I have to do it.
Yeah.
I have to have him because he's good and he's over or whatever.
Do whatever you want with him.
But I don't want him.
Yeah.
I don't think Hunter ever has that I don't want him attitude, that same way. Just from physically looking at a guy.
No, you have to rub Hunter the wrong way, and then he never forgets the grudge.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
No. But it's different.
So, it is. That is definitely different.
And that's different again. Vince will forget the grudge if he can make a buck.
Yes, that is very true, actually. So
I think that's the end of the show. All our subjects.
And hence the fact that we saw Lex Luger on...
This is why we don't show up with fucking topics and anything like that. Because we just went 40 minutes on something we didn't know we were going to talk about.
Order pizza. By the way, I got the new NWO documentary. Here we are, right?
So. But I mean, we only talked about that for 3 minutes. We went off on...
Just to get warmed up. I should mention Fandango.
Yeah.
Johnny Curtis.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy that won NXT over Brodus Clay.
He has a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. Beat Brodus Clay in NXT there.
Yeah.
So.
Probably good. Long term, he might be in. Long term, it's essentially got the same gimmick.
I was going to say Battle of the Dancing Stars.
Fuck me.
Oh, Christ. They could be a tag team.
Where's the boogeyman? Bring him back. He has a money idea.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, well, what did they say? I'm not afraid of the boogeyman, I think CM Punk said at one promo, and I thought, oh, fuck. I don't want to hear that. But
boogeyman, want to know what WrestleMania beating Booker T.
That's true. Yeah, didn't he feud with JBL for a bit, too? Because he just... Jillian Hall was JBL's, like, assistant, and he bit the mole off her.
Yeah.
See, wrestling is better than it was, whatever, well, 5 years ago.
There was some shit.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's better, but there's some shit.
I think it is better than
it was.
There's
always been shit.
Yes, that's true.
I don't know that it's better.
I don't know. I think on the whole it is.
I don't know.
I think on the whole it is. Top to bottom. Top to bottom, I think it is. Or maybe the top of the card might be worse, I think.
And Jillian Hall might have been 7 years ago, same thing. But JBL bit that off. But
Boogeyman.
Boogeyman, whatever.
JBL broke it off.
Yeah. Is that what we're going to get with Alberto Del Rio? Are we going to get an entire a cabinet? We're going to add Rosa. We already got his announcer. Add a tag team underneath him. Like, I say add the clones. I say don't split them up. I say add her and
true.
The clones and have them to be the Bashams role. Give them a role.
The Latino World Order.
No.
Oh.
But yeah, I say.
Then you could add Uvi as his commentator.
Yeah. Tequila. You bring tequila to the ring.
Pinata. JBL, we talk about JBL, full-time at SmackDown. He's signed on now. He's full-time SmackDown commentator, color man.
That blog that I wrote about JR, and I might have to make an adjustment about the now thing.
Ah, okay.
No, yes, that's all right.
No, that's, I will, so it looks like it's going to be Josh and JBL.
Yeah.
And then maybe, at least for now, and Vince...
Ross is going to be there for now, but they're going to transition
well,
out again.
As we speak... But that decision hasn't been finalized yet.
Yeah.
So Vince can change his mind 16 times.
Not Vince.
I know. Speaking of which, Survivor Series.
Was there a change made?
I think there was a change made.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about the 5-on-5 last week and sort of what the card will probably look like. Well, that now the new main event is John Cena versus CM Punk versus Ryback in a 3-way dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Apparently the reason is the early returns on Hell in a Cell were better than expected, and they want to go with...
Yeah, Vince believes it's Ryback.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was. Once,
yes.
The reason that worked... Well, number one, they didn't have... I mean, it was like 6 weeks between pay-per-views.
That was true, yes.
That helped.
6 weeks. That definitely helped, yeah.
That helped. But the other reason why that worked is because when they put Ryback in there, they had a world champion, had this really long run,
mm-hmm.
and they had a guy with all this momentum, and it was, holy shit, are they actually going to do this? It'd be a stupid move, but I got to see it.
Yes. Had you told... See, the difference between these two pay-per-views is had everyone gone into Hell in the Cell knowing that evil referee Brad Maddox would... low blow him and fast count him, you're going to get the Survivor Series.
Well, the thing is, if you're going to put the belt on Ryback, that was when you're going to do it.
Yeah.
So people were paying to see, they legitimately, for the first time, like, I think since CM Punk has had the belt, and I look at his opponents, Dolph Ziggler, Alberto Del Rio, Chris Jericho.
Big Show, John Cena, Kane, Daniel Bryan.
I don't think there's been one time I thought CM Punk was going to lose that belt.
You know what? There was a little bit of a time with in that 3-way with AJ as the referee that we thought maybe. AJ was gonna, you know, she looked like she had goo goo eyes for Punk that she was.
Yeah,
gonna...
it was a possibility. I still didn't think it was likely, but it was possible.
Yeah,
but
you're right.
This was
Ryback
the first time. This is, and that's what the draw was. The draw wasn't Ryback is a draw.
Mm-mm.
The draw was holy fuck. They might make the decision to go with this other guy and fuck all their plans up, and I want to see where they're going.
Yeah.
I want to see if they'll actually do this. It was the same reason you stick your head out of a window when you pass a car accident.
Yeah.
You got to see what it was.
Yeah.
And that's why people paid this time. And that's why they're not going... That doesn't mean Ryback's a draw, and that's why it's not going to work going back to it.
No.
Because you have that moment, and... people went, okay, this is what they did. And their curiosity, I think, as to whether or not they're going to... Now they could put the belt on it, but now everybody go, that's fucking stupid. That's a mistake. Whereas before they were going, I want to see if they're going to make a mistake. But they... They're not going to do it a second time. That said, they probably added 5,000 buys more than they had before. It's probably that much stronger.
Yeah.
5,000-10,000 buys more. But it's stronger, but it's not.
Let's compare it. Let's compare Ryback to, who's always compared to, Goldberg.
Yeah.
Goldberg got one shot.
Yep.
And then he won it.
Yeah.
His first time. He had to.
Yep.
It's the same as Ryback, and now it's just the bloom will slowly kind of fade off the rose, and he'll just become another guy.
But the difference was people believed, oh, Ryback's awesome. I don't know if they're going to have him pin Hogan, especially a week out before Hogan goes to the main event. Before Hogan goes to the main event.
You said Ryback.
Oh, what did I say?
Ryback. You said Ryback's going to pin Hogan.
Okay. The point is, but yeah, I mean, it was Ryback and Hogan. The point was people were going, I don't know if, I think Goldberg's going to win, but I don't know if Goldberg's going to pin Hogan. And they're actually going to do it, especially right before Hogan goes in with, Dennis Rodman against Carl Malone and DDP on the biggest pay-per-view of the year.
That's right.
So it was kind of like a, hey, I have to see this. But it was different.
It was free.
Well, number one, it was free. But the other reason it was different was people went, Goldberg should get the belt.
Mm-hmm.
Goldberg, you should go with him. He's the hottest guy in the company.
He needs the belt, yeah.
Ryback, people went, they might go with him, despite the fact that it's the wrong move.
Yeah.
And that was the curiosity.
Yeah, will they fuck this up? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's a car crash.
It is. Was that mentality of, I want to see if they're actually going to do this. Because this is crazy.
Yeah.
If they actually go with this guy, right?
Yeah.
It's different.
I know what you mean. Well, it's like watching a NASCAR race just for the accident, right? They're going around a corner, are they? Oh.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You know, yeah.
It's true.
So that's the new main event.
Like I say, it's stronger, but I think Vince McMahon thinking he has his next big draw is going to get a slap of reality.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's Diesel and Backlund, right?
Yeah.
Is what this is. But the other change then, of course, with Punk out, Dolph Ziggler in as captain. So now it's Team Foley against Team Ziggler. You know, with that issue that they have going back to January.
Oh, I remember when Foley and Ziggler had that in-ring confrontation we thought it was going to lead to a WrestleMania match last year?
A year ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in January.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they could reference that, and Foley's probably, if he gets time, will be smart enough too, but,
Foley will.
Yeah. If he's allowed to, if he's given the time to. Yeah. I mean, and the other thing is Miz quit the team. And so Wade Barrett is now in. We complained about that last week, actually, that we thought Barrett better choice than Miz, and now that's happened. Ryback also out, obviously, now that he's in that three-way.
Yeah.
So now the baby faces have a mystery man.
By the way, I just want to say this about that three-way. While I say that Ryback's not going to draw again, the curiosity this time, the reason why he'll have a little bit of power, more so than he will, say, a month from now, is simply because people are going to say, okay, I know they're not going to put the belt on him, but how are they going to book him against Cena? How good or how strong is he going to look against Cena? So as long as there is that, and they recognize that. They put those two face-to-face, head-to-head, staring each other down at the end of the last show, right? But that is more of a – Ryback versus Cena is fresh and new and more interesting because it's, you know –
It's somewhat there, I guess.
A little bit more.
A little bit more, sure. Yeah. But as I said, the baby faces now have one spot to fill that they haven't filled yet.
Yeah.
I guess my question is Miz turning babyface?
Well, yes, he is. Obviously, because, I mean, after his match against Kofi Kingston for no reason, he went to shake his hand. Kofi drop kicked him out of the ring to boot.
In the face, yeah. Yeah.
But, yes, he is. I don't think he's going to be a member of the team, though.
No?
No, I think it'll be Foley.
You think Foley will
I think it'll be a special mystery guy, or Foley will announce it before the pay-per-view. I think it'll be Foley. But that said, it could very well be Miz. I've been saying to you for a long time, I think Miz should go babyface.
Yes.
But I've also been saying you need a storyline that builds over months and makes fucking sense to fucking do it.
Yeah.
Because that's how you do these things, get them over, make people bigger stars, and draw money.
Yeah, I know. I mean, now, who would you put Foley in there? Like, who would you put in that spot?
Well, it depends. I mean, is Randy Orton winning the match or not?
No, I mean,
who's winning?
Personally, have the heels winning. I have Ziggler and
I have
Ziggler
winning too.
And
if
Wade
I do
Barrett
it, I
my two survivors.
Yeah, I do the same. Especially now that's not the main event.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I go with Foley.
Okay. I just, yeah. I mean, again, depending on if they're going to hype a mystery man. If they're going to hype a mystery man, to me, Foley's a little...
Even if we had a logical reason that Miz was kicked out and he'd want revenge on them,
mm-hmm.
other than, hey, that guy's a coward. You're out of the team.
No, he quit.
Oh, okay. Hey, that guy's a coward. I quit.
Yeah, but see, he quit. He left on his own volition, so it's not like he's been even turned on and
no,
he's
you're
get
right.
revenge.
He has
right?
no...
In hell, the only person that he went to shake the hand of Kofi Kingston, who booted him, drop kicked him square in the mush,
and he
Kofi
had no,
Kingston is on the babyface team.
And again, he had no reason to shake his hand, though. Ah, you beat me four times in a row. Fuck it. You know what? You're a good guy. No, it's totally out of character for Miz.
Well, that's true, but then he... But he's
so that said,
the baby
you're right.
Face
it probably
thing,
is going to be him.
And he's getting
it's really
him.
Shitty
yeah,
done.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
done so poorly. It's fucking, that's just what they fucking
that's
do.
How I kind
this,
of
this is the type of thing that makes me not want to watch,
yeah,
not watch WWE.
Know.
This is shit.
The only name
this
that,
is shit.
The only name that
this
could,
is shit.
That could be of any kind of surprise that has a Dolph Ziggler connection. You talked about Mick Foley's been called a Muppet. Well, there's, I don't know what Fozzie is doing.
Shit. No, actually, you're right. You're right. That would be, I mean, I think it's really unlikely.
Yeah.
It'd be good.
And, I mean, as a one, sort of, as a surprise deal, right?
A one-time thing, yeah.
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 But, I mean, you talked about, you know, this is why we don't like to watch. I mean, to me, it's just it's one of the reasons that we don't like to watch pay-per-views. We don't like to pay for the product, right?
Well, but this doesn't make me want to watch Raw because it makes me mad.
The other reason is, to me, is the three-hour Raw that was on Monday. I watched the Hell in a Cell undercard.
We've said that usually it happens the month after on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
This time, you're right. We got the whole fucking... You're right.
It was like...
I never even thought about it.
Team Hell No, Rhodes Scholars is going to be on the main event coming up.
Yeah.
You know, we watched the primetime players against Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio. I mean, there's just...
Del Rio and fucking
Rio
Orton.
And Orton. I mean, this is a thing. But, I mean, that's all we've seen is this, you know, like, totally not distinguishing the pay-per-view from anything else on television.
No.
You know, so there's no reason. It's the TNA, you know, Vince Russo mentality of, you know, pay-per-views are the same as our TV shows.
Yeah.
You know, and it just does, but in a bad way.
Yeah, no, it's, you may not, I mean, this is the thing. I don't know if I've expressed this yet. But shit.
Really?
Shit.
Russo?
It's shit.
Russo.
What else did they bring Russo in to talk about?
Well, yeah, that's...
What's the
yeah.
other DVD? Because he had two lines. He was there for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
There's no way they bring in this guy, fly this guy in and put him on TV and record 1 minute and go, you can go home. There's
yeah.
something else coming out with Russo. And he's probably going to play a major part, maybe more than one thing, most likely. And what is it going to be?
That's going to be interesting.
What upcoming projects do they have coming out?
Well, that's a... We went through it.
We did, yeah, yeah. But we never thought Russo would be in. But
what could he be in? Let's just let's look. He
we
will
should
not
have
be,
him back on the show.
We will not have him on the Bret Hart unreleased matches.
I'd like him to do commentary on it.
That would be alternate commentary with Ed Ferrara. Pinata.
Okay, here we go. Just,
Pinata.
You got it Googled?
I got it Googled here.
Pinata. All right. People love it when we go to Google to look up what's coming up.
I know.
TLC, no. Best of Raw SmackDown 2012, no.
Best of
Nitro Volume 2, maybe.
Man, I think you can... Well, it depends on if they do it, how they do it, right?
A Mick Foley biography, maybe.
Mm.
Best of In Your House. Maybe.
No.
Top 25 rivalries? I don't think so.
He could be talking about those rivalries.
I don't think so.
If they brought him there, and if you could say, talk about Austin versus McMahon.
Yeah, I see the one
the
I, guy think,
I think
he
that
could
wrote
be.
It.
One that he might.
Goldberg?
Goldberg, he could talk about that one. But the one I see, best of MSG. I could see that.
Yeah.
Really, it's tough to.
But again, talk about Austin versus McMahon, guy who wrote it.
Yeah.
I mean,
none of these, though, are ones I'm going, fuck, that's perfect to have him on there.
That's true. And there could be more. I mean, this isn't set in stone, right? They can always...
Like, if they had if one coming up was called Evolution of the Attitude Era, I'd say, fuck, awesome.
Yeah.
You gotta have him in there.
Biggest cocksuckers in wrestling.
Yeah, it would be you would want him, Kelly Kelly, who else?
Pat Patterson. You don't...
You realize they're never inviting us to their anything.
Who,
I can't
Pat
believe
Patterson?
They sent us... Yeah, I can't believe WWE... They must not listen to our show since they sent us that advanced screener.
This is true.
I'm like...
Maybe they got our tout.
We should send another one some point.
Hey,
WWE! Tout this, motherfuckers! That was awesome.
Oh, fuck. But no, I think that, with Russo, I see, the thing is, when you talk about best of MSG, I don't know, Vince Russo isn't, to me, the wrestling match fan.
Or if there was one talking about, say, minorities, like Mexicans.
That's right, yeah.
It'd be great.
The Japanese and such.
Yeah.
That would be very, very good.
That'd be really important to have him on that one.
Yeah. That, man, well, you know who we had, what I had gone, and I don't know, just to preface this, Samoa Joe. But we talk about, you know, be a star campaign and such, and Samoa Joe, he's going to have a no DQ match with Magnus at the pay-per-view this Sunday, but it's come out that Samoa Joe suffers from dyslexia. He came out and said that he suffers from dyslexia, but he was going to give us a call and tell us what he thought. And so I've got him on the line. So,
man, hey, Joe, is that you? How you doing, buddy? How you doing?
Fuck! Fuso!
Did he say, Ruck Fuso?
Ruck Fuso.
And he hung up.
And then he just hung up.
Huh. Well, that was odd.
He is.
Good to have him back on, though.
Yeah. It's nice to hear from him.
Yeah.
But
a little better interview than Buffett.
Well, what DVD would you create for Vince Russo?
That would be probably Evolution of the Attitude Era.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that would be it, the Attitude Era, yeah. And,
yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see him on some of these roundtable discussions.
Oh, that would be fucking great.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love it. It's got to be with the right guys. The guys that will just look at him like, you fucking cock.
Yeah, Michael Hayes. He's
Michael
on every
Hayes,
single one.
They are these fucking guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Please happen.
Vince
talking about things like, yeah, talking about, yeah, oh.
Vince Russo, Michael Hayes, Mean Gene in the middle,
yeah.
Kevin Nash, and JR.
And JR. And what are the subjects?
Oh, I mean, I don't even know that it would matter. You could, he could bullshit his way about anything.
That's true.
But I'm just trying.
Celebrities and wrestling.
Well, they already did that one.
Oh.
Remember DDP was on
it? Yeah.
Talking about how great it was?
Yeah.
And how great he was?
Yeah.
It's
not like Hulk Hogan in this documentary, though.
No, yes. NWO worked because I was the leader.
Maybe if I... Oh, yeah, what was the other one? The one where we went, bullshit of the week, week.
Yeah, what was
it? Oh, yeah, it was... Well, Russell being 18, we weren't sure if they were going to cheer me or not.
Oh, yeah, we weren't sure what the deal was going to be there.
fucking loser.
Oh, fuck. But, no, I just... I look at... the topics, I don't know. You could do anything in terms of the topics, you know, just most controversial moments.
Yeah.
You know, something like that, right?
Yeah.
They've
already done that, but
have they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I didn't know that they.
Maybe that was that.
They've
done RF video one, the most controversial, or high spots, or.
Speaking of which, high spots. They did a Kickstarter. They made the money. They won $15,000. When I checked the other day, it was about $16,000 and change.
Yeah.
Documentary on the Dynamite Kid.
Yeah.
This
is the one where you sent me the text. It's almost midnight. I'm getting I was asleep. Gonna get up early for work.
Yeah.
Like, where the fuck weren't you asleep then, so you could get up early for work?
I played hockey late last night. I had hockey at, like, 9:30 to 10:30, so I was actually just getting home and, like, still, like, you know, you can't sleep a lot. I said, you know,
Now, when you say hockey,
you, you cannot play sports and then go to sleep right after. I know you wouldn't know that.
Well, and let's let everybody know.
Floor hockey.
Exactly. We are in Canada.
Play floor hockey.
Yeah. We're in Canada, and those of you thinking that he had on skates and he's you know, body checking and is really physical and athletic, it's like floor hockey at the YMCA, something like that.
Well, it's in different places.
Oh, okay.
But
you play with plastic
hockey balls, and then my own hockey stick. It's like a plastic. I have gone in 3 fights though.
And you weigh 37 pounds.
It's true though. I'm very competitive. those girls, they shouldn't have been so.
That's what I was saying. Like, did she beat you up this time or?
I let her.
You let her. Yeah.
It's also where I get my orgasms.
I know.
But
it explains your relationship with your ex-wife.
It's true. It's true. Cunt. But I.
I didn't know you were married to Dixie.
I couldn't sleep. Or, I mean, you couldn't. I was still one. That's why I texted you and I was watching the thing. But they go over to England and actually interview the Dynamite.
Hold on, still laughing over here.
Uh-huh.
Wait, not that. Whew! Right. Okay, that's good.
Okay,
let's go. All
right, yes. So like a shoot interview with the Dynamite Kid, which to me is kind of...
That's what it is. It's not a documentary, right? It's a shoot interview with Dynamite Kid.
Well, they've got some footage. They actually go something... They have a segment called In Their Own Words, where they flash back and forth with Jacques Rougeau and Dynamite Kid. They also have interviews with... I saw snippets of interviews with Bob Orton,
mm-hmm.
with Harley Race...
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was Ted DiBiase as well.
Ted DiBiase, but he's under WWE contract.
Yeah, I don't know. But, and that's why Foley was supposed to be the narrator of this, but his WWE contract wouldn't let him. So Davey Richards is going to be the narrator, I guess.
Okay. What about Chris Benoit?
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Kevin Sullivan.
Speaking of which... I had a thing about Benoit I wanted to ask you.
Did you? Oh, okay. His son's name was Daniel.
I knew that.
Oh.
Good fucking Lord. We're going to get letters.
MO@WeTalkPodcast.com.
How do you like that? How do you like that letter we got this week? Isn't that awesome?
I replied.
What did you say?
I said, absolutely.
We're not going to tell you guys what this is about. It's ridiculous. Oh, this one particular letter was ridiculous. Anyway, Benoit, this week the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame just came out.
It did.
Did you have that down? Did you list the topics?
Well, it's on my list of topics. I only have two people that went in that I remember off the top of my head, so I'm going to bring it up.
John Cena and
John Cena went in.
And Lou Albano.
Who?
Lou Albano.
Who?
Lou Albano.
Oh.
Captain Lou
Albano.
Yep.
Sure, first ballot, sure, fire Hall of Famer. We all, I mean, that one was the obvious choice.
And after passing away, he got a huge bump, 70%, so he was in pretty safely, which is, you know, Jesse Ventura just missed again,
just
unfortunately.
Missed the
Sergeant Slaughter, nowhere near the list. That said, Chris Benoit is in.
Yes,
why the hell is Chris Benoit in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame?
I don't know why.
No, seriously, I'm asking you. This is, I literally don't get this. Why the hell is he in there?
Because he's one of the greatest workers of all time.
Yeah, Mr. Perfect isn't in.
Former WWE and WCW champion?
He was put in before he won those belts.
Okay.
He was put in before... He won the WWE Championship. I think before he won the WCW one. I can't remember what year he went in. But he went in, like, first year he was eligible.
Okay.
Again, Mr. Henning, or Kurt Henning's not in there. So it can't be just based on a worker. He wasn't a great draw. Why? I don't understand. Red Bastien isn't in. Owen Hart isn't in. I don't see what he has that those guys didn't. I just don't know. I'm not saying kick him out because of what he did.
What about all his Japanese
Yeah, what about all of Owen's Japanese? What about, you know...
Well, I think...
What
I
about
mean,
all
I
of the
think,
great matches? What about being world champion in AWA and the great matches Henning had with Nick Bockwinkel and everything like that? And, like...
Sure, sure. I just think... I don't know, but I mean... I see what you're saying, but...
Why the hell is he in? I know he's an awesome worker.
That's
not proven to be enough to get you in.
Well, not every time.
Awesome workers like Red Bastien and Henning aren't in there.
But I do think that Benoit does prove that if you are a great enough worker, and that was the buzz around him. I look at... And I mean, that... It was largely Benoit was the darling of the smarts,
yeah.
Right, forever. And that's why he's in.
I just...
Again, every Hall of Fame, everything, I mean, while there is that, some of it is a popularity contest, right?
Yeah.
And so he won the popularity, he's king of the nerds, really, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what he is. And that's why he's in, for a large... That's a part of it. I mean, there's no doubt that he doesn't deserve to be in, but when you're comparing him to others that also
I think he does deserve to be in, but I also think Henning deserves to be in.
Right.
Right? I do also think Red Bastien deserves
to be in.
Let's
talk about the people that were in. Mick McManus, UK.
Yeah.
There. Dr. Alfonso Morales, 74%. John Cena, as you said, 71%. Hans Schmidt. Another French-Canadian, played a German at the Dumont Network, just passed away as well this past year, so he's getting the death bump as well. But you know, again, deserving to be in. And Lou Albano, with the 70%.
Yeah.
Then we go down, Dr. Wagner Sr. just missed 50. He was one vote shy. He needed 47 votes on the Mexican thing, and he got 46.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse the Body Ventura, he needed 154 votes.
Yeah,
he got 152, you know.
And I think he was one short the year before.
Yeah.
He had 153, I believe, the year before or something. So
Kintsuki Sasaki needed 59, got 58. That youngster, Carlos Colon, was too shy of getting in. You know, and then Enrique Torres was four shy. I see
a name on there that got, and every year he gets about this, Dick Murdoch.
Yeah, Dick.
Awesome worker. Not enough to get him in.
No, that's very true.
Like I said, that's all, that was my question.
I think with Benoit, when you talk about a perfect storm of, this, what Dick Murdoch is here, this vote.
Yeah.
Is... This is everybody that worked with him.
Yes.
Has voted for him.
Yeah.
And then the odd people that, you know, that have watched him and such and are influenced by that.
Yeah.
With Benoit, those that worked with him
voted for him.
Those that watched him voted for him. Like, he had, you know, all the groups voting for him enough to go in, right? Whereas with Curt Hennig, most of the people that worked with him are dead.
Red Bastien is the same kind of thing, I think. People that vote for him are people that really know him.
And that's a death bump, too, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, only Gene Anderson, you know, are just shy at 54%. The Rock and Roll Express,
yeah.
You know, are 49%. You need 60 to get in. So, I mean, I'm not even sure what their...
You can just go down a little bit further here. I want to see just who else. Who else is kind of like hanging around where I'm like, tremendous workers that didn't get in?
Well,
or aren't in?
Well, see, the one thing that made me, you know, there's Edge.
Yeah.
You know, way ahead, and even the Fabulous Moolah, you know?
Yeah.
Talk about Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah.
Here. You know, yeah. Benoit's in, but Jimmy Snuka isn't?
Yeah. Write your own joke. Brock Lesnar, I thought, would get a lot closer.
Yeah.
There's Curt Hennig, you know, staying on the ballot.
Same around Sergeant Slaughter here.
Yeah.
Vampiro.
Yeah.
Same percentage as Curt Hennig, right?
Yeah.
Big Daddy. You know, much talked about this year at 20.
Didn't even come close.
We still haven't got the Sting.
No, Sting was up right beside Edge.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah, he was right beside Edge.
There's Owen Hart with 15%. Bautista. You know.
not very much, only 15%.
Less than 10%, so that will vote drop
AJ
off.
AJ Styles technically would have been eligible, and Meltzer didn't even put him on the ballot because he knew nobody was going to vote for him. Again,
well,
it's not just work. But I would love to know what year did... Just Google it. What year did Chris Benoit go in?
Well,
I would love to know this.
Okay, well, let me just... I just want to mention here, less than 10% dropping off the ballot.
Okay.
Chief J. Strongbow, Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Kane.
Yeah.
Buddy Rose.
Okay.
So, and added to the ballot next year is Bullet Bob, Dave Brown,
mm-hmm.
Jim Crockett Sr.,
mm-hmm.
Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South,
mm-hmm.
Eugene Nagata, Ken Patera,
mm-hmm.
and Stanley Weston. I wonder how much...
And you, the one that, whose name you can't
oh,
pronounce.
Yeah, and then Takashi Masanaga.
Yeah, actually, some interesting strong names being put on next year.
I'm just looking to see where... oh, yeah, okay, there's Sting.
Yeah.
But did you see Little Willie there anywhere?
Little Willie?
Yeah. Where's Bill Apter?
Oh, Bill Apter. Oh, yeah, I thought he was actually coming out. Oh, you're right. No, he's up high. He's up high.
Yeah. Okay.
He was up near the top of the list. Go up a little higher.
There he is. Yeah,
he's right below. He's one
right
of those
below
guys.
Below L.A.
Just
Park,
out.
52, yeah, percent yeah. of the vote here. Also not getting in Gorilla Monsoon.
Yeah, what a surprise.
So, yeah, I know. So let's just quickly all...
Yeah, Chris Benoit, Observer Hall of Fame. Just to make my argument here, unless, I mean, if he went in, you know, after he was, when he, okay, there you go. Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame, Wikipedia, jumped to
2003.
And so that would have been, yeah, before he was WWE champion.
Was it?
I believe so.
No.
WrestleMania 20?
20, what are they on now? 28, right? We
yeah.
just had 28, and that would have been, so 20 would have been 8 years ago, which would have been 2004.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay, sorry, before, you're right, yeah. yes.
So
yes.
after he had his one-day reign.
Yes, yes.
With WCW. So that does make my point again. I just don't understand why he's in Kurt Hennig. And if it's just about work rates, I don't know. I don't think he's a better worker than Kurt Hennig. I mean, it's really close. If he is, it's really minuscule. If Henning, I wouldn't say Henning's better. Henning might be equal or just the smallest bit below.
Yeah. I think in terms of technically, Benoit has it. But in terms of worker, with bumping and theatrics and
I'm
things,
not even
right?
sure technically, because if you go back and watch his matches against someone like Nick Bockwinkel,
that's true.
You'll
right.
see a different style of technician from...
you know what I would love to be on that Bret Hart unreleased matches would be that match that he talks about from Alaska.
I don't know if that was taped.
Well, that's the only thing he didn't do, but I mean, if it was, that
yeah.
would be, you know, I would think it would have been...
his best match,
yeah.
that he says.
But,
against Henning, yeah, in front of like 50 people in Alaska.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Raucous house.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think that, so that's the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. But no, I mean, I know what you're saying, but I mean, I understand why Benoit's in.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm not, like I say, I don't disagree that he should be there based on how great a worker he was. Like I say, it happened before his incident.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, then I just don't see how some of these other people can be kept out. That's all.
No, a lot of that does
I don't see how nobody could possibly be willing to work for AJ Styles if it's based on how great a worker you are. So I just don't know what kind of pulls it all together is my thing. That's all. Let's move on from it.
Okay.
What else you got there? Anything important? Linda, I guess, congratulations to Linda McMahon.
Yes, congratulations to Linda McMahon for, you know...
Losing a lot of money.
Losing $100 million. My favorite was watching the ABC News part. And they had Diane Sawyer was one of their, and Big Bird's friend there, George Snuffleupagus, was the co-host. And Diane Sawyer, hammered.
Really?
She was just hammered at this
You're
thing.
Shitting
oh,
me.
She was drinking, like, she, well, you could, I could see it as the progression went, oh, fuck, by the end, just blitzed. But anyway, because, so they had speculated if the result, when they come in and they named it, the result, they had speculated whether it was a fake. If it was
nice.
A work.
Nice.
But
did you watch the video of her concession speech?
I love with you know
Vince.
Never.
I have never seen a human being look as sad as Vince. No. I laughed so fucking hard.
No, I know. It's like.
I can't even explain it.
I don't even know. But you know what happened? He lost his smile.
Yeah. Which is really funny. They should ask Fit Finley if he could put it back on his face more.
That's his new... But that was going to be the campaign song that after Vince lost his smile, right? Tell me a lie. Say that you won't run. But $100 million. Did you see Roddy Piper's tweet?
No.
Oh.
Is he not in their good graces?
Spend $100 million to not get elected to Senate, but you won't pay the medical bills of someone that works for you.
It's true.
You know?
It's true. In the speaking of the Observer, in their newsletter this week, they did a little further look at some of their financials.
Mm.
And one of the things that they say is that WWF performers are earning between 8 and 10%, whereas if you look at other sports, the hockey and whatever,
yeah.
Even film actors and their percentage and that type of thing, the... you know, you get that 50% range, and then you're talking about 10%.
Yeah.
And one of the things that got me that was very interesting, and even UFC, which is always criticized for not paying their guys, is actually a higher percentage of that.
Yeah.
And nevertheless, what boxing is way, way
well,
higher.
Well, think of when we met, and I was managing a Domino's Pizza.
Yeah.
And it was my goal was to have a 22% labor percentage.
Yeah.
It was, you know, for whatever the night's sort yeah. of pizza sales where it was, you know, in around the 22% range, right?
Yeah, you were trying to get it up to that.
No, I was keeping it as low as possible. But, there,
but anyways. But anyways, yeah, you were trying to keep it at 22%, and they're getting away with between 8 and 10%
yeah.
For the wrestlers. And they're not paying medical. They're not paying the dental. They're not paying, you know, all this shit. They're not transporting them a lot of the times. But what got me was the part where it said, the thing that's likely to give them the greatest amount of revenue in the future is TV.
Yeah.
And the wrestlers aren't paid on that. They're paid on how much they draw on pay-per-view. They're paid on merchandise sales.
Yes.
They're paid on house shows.
Yeah.
So if the biggest revenue stream in the future is going to be TV, it's not going to necessarily mean more money. It could drop from 8% like it is now or 10%, whatever it is in that range.
Right.
It could drop another 2 or 3%. To me, that was really scary. You know, when I hear guys are, nobody's making less than $100,000, but it's just really
isn't. Well,
that's
the flip side of it, right, is that it's like we're talking about a hockey lockout, you know, it's that it's millionaires arguing with billionaires, and it's not quite to that degree. But
well, it's not even close.
But, I mean, when you look at you know, people that, you said, they're making $100,000, they're making six figures, yeah, they've got expenses and such, right?
Yes.
But still, what's, you know, what, I don't even know what the average wage is in the United States of America or North America, the world for that matter.
Yeah.
I mean, they're earning a comfortable, an above comfortable living even with their expenses. The question there is, you know, as I said, but what right do they have to share in the company's,
Well, you say it's comfortable, but let's say you're making $120,000 and then you take away everything and you get it down to $80,000. Or less, you know.
Yeah.
You take away taxes, you make $80,000. You take away expenses, you make another $15,000 minimum.
Right.
Minimum.
Yeah.
You're really not looking at that much. You're looking at really nothing. Like.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, $100,000 gross, right, minus expenses. So then let's just say they have $40,000 in expenses. So they make $60,000 gross.
Yeah.
That is definitely above the North American average.
Yeah, I think the North American average last time I saw was like 47, 48,000.
Okay, yeah, and that's what I was going to say. It's probably in the 40,000, high 40,000. Yeah. So they are, again, you're comfortable.
You're comfortable.
You're
but
making
you look at what they do for your body, you look at what it takes away for your family. You
oh,
look
sure,
at,
sure.
I just go, again, I don't understand. And I don't understand why these guys don't unionize. You know, pro-union, yes or no. I just think in their situation, when you look at all the other forms of entertainment,
mm-hmm.
And you look at the fact that they can't be SAG members and all this type of shit, you know, yeah, I just don't understand why they don't. I mean, the power is in the wrestlers. I mean, as much as we say that they can replace them, yeah, they can replace any one person or any two people. Randy Orton add another wellness policy, they can fucking replace that guy. You can go to TNA, it won't mean fuck all.
Yeah.
But if everybody walks out except for John Cena, you're still fucked. And that's the thing, right?
That's what happened to Hunter.
That's. But, you know, but, I mean, again, yeah, I mean, you look at hockey. I mean, they're fighting over, they're fighting to get the highest percentage, right? And they're locked out right now. And they have 50%.
Well, NFL just ended, you know, yeah, theirs, right? I mean, so, you know, before the season, right?
It's just especially, like I say, when I hear that what they do get paid for will go down. They need to, I'm not saying they need 50%, I am saying that I think, though, that they getting up to that 22%, getting things like a percentage of television revenue, getting things
yeah,
like medical for your family and that type of thing covered, I just think the guys should do that. I think that, I just don't understand why somebody isn't pushing for it within them.
I think the point
other
you
than
made,
Jesse Ventura, and we saw how fucking Hogan stabbed him in his back.
Yeah, but I mean, but again, you look at...
I mean, they were almost unionized under Ventura, and Hogan came to Vince right before it was going to happen,
yeah,
after he was approached and stabbed everybody in the back for his own good.
Well, yeah, because it's...
Again, I don't feel bad for Hogan whatsoever with the sex tape or anything else.
No. And the problem, though...
He's a piece of shit.
Is that you have to have... For a union...
You didn't even have that in your biggest douche, did you?
What?
The union thing.
No, I didn't. No.
And that might be the biggest douche move of them
it
all.
It could be, yeah. But again, when you look at... You have to have a full-on... Like, you have to have 100%.
Yeah.
Right, participation for a union to work.
Yeah.
And that's why it'll never happen.
I don't know, you need, well, no, it's 98% of the guys.
Okay, well, yeah. That's still enough. But I don't know that would happen. Because, I mean, you look at, the argument is made, again, is what I just made, is where else is, like, what else is Zack Ryder qualified to do? Heath Slater, right? Where he can
Zack Ryder can make YouTube videos, and Heath Slater can sing.
That's true. Rape me again. But I think that these guys, the majority of these guys are not qualified to do anything else.
Look, I tell you, if they walked out, it'd be really tough for about 3 weeks when they're not making any money. It's not going to last long. Vince McMahon can't shut down Raw with all the pressure he has.
Yeah.
He can show tapes for 1 week, maybe 2 weeks. By the third week, he's got to have his fucking act going again. He's got pay-per-views to run. He's got house shows to run. I'm sorry. They don't have the power here. The guys have the power. They just don't realize it.
Well, the guys collectively have the power.
Yes.
Individually.
Then again, we saw how many of them sat out when Owen Hart died.
Yeah, Foley went home.
Yeah.
Well, no, when Bret got screwed, Foley went home.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was when Bret Hart got screwed, not when Owen Hart died.
Yeah.
Bret Hart and one other guy.
Well, Bret and Davey.
No, one other guy that was not his, yeah, I can't remember who.
I thought it was just Foley.
I thought there was one other guy, but whatever. Point being, though, that not really, everybody said they were going to, and then everybody's at fucking work the next day.
Yeah, exactly, right?
But they do have the power, they just don't realize it. It never happened, probably, but it should. It just amazes me.
Oh, it amazes me, too, but it never... Well, I said it amazes me that it's not talked about more.
Yeah.
It's because it's
well, for the mainstream press, you say whatever you want about the mainstream press, at the end of the day, and Vince and Linda and all this shit, at the end of the day, they're still just so far under the radar.
They're just wrestling, exactly.
It's like the congressional shit, you know. Yeah.
All right,
you got anything else worth talking about? I mean, I'm ready to go.
Yeah,
I think we quickly just have to run down because the pay-per-view is this weekend.
We're turning a point on Remembrance Day.
Yeah.
Lest we forget
Veterans,
there's a pay-per-view.
Veterans Day in America.
Whatever. but let's run this mofo down here.
What did I do?
Hmm?
What? Mofo?
Oh, yes. It's when you had that curly-haired thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't work.
A mustache.
Who?
Never. Nothing wrong.
Okay. D-Von is going to fight Kurt Angle.
Okay.
Yeah, D-Von, the man-at-arms of Aces and Eights.
Yep.
Going to be accompanied by his daughter, Tila.
Yeah.
Yeah. No DQ, as I mentioned. Magnus against Samoa Joe for the TV title. Be decent. Tag title on the line. The Mexicans against the former World Tag Team Champions of the World.
Mm-hmm.
Should be solid.
Yeah.
Three-way dance with Robert Roode, AJ Styles, and James Storm. Winner is the number one contender.
Yeah.
Loser, the person that gets pinned, is not able to get a world title match for a year.
Yes.
So that's the stipulation.
I do not fucking understand why somebody would sign up for that.
Yeah.
Considering how often world title matches are. Angle had a world title shot the week before. There's Championship Thursday every week. I don't know why anybody would sign up for that.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah.
But
it's interesting, though. Who do you think they keep away with it for a year?
It can't
be Roode because they have a babyface champion.
Well, to me, AJ makes the most sense if you want to build him up. And again, if you want to do this...
I think if you do it with Storm, it seems too much like a retread.
Yeah, and AJ Styles... Again, I look at, we talked about that Royal Rumble.
Roode pins AJ.
Yeah, we talked about, Roode pins AJ. We talked about the Royal Rumble 1994, a little while ago when it comes to the Ryback, how you booked Hell in the Cell. I mean, similar thing I look at here. AJ Styles not allowed to get a title match for a year unless you win the Bound for Glory tournament.
There you go.
And then, there you go, right? So and he doesn't even have to win it, but he could get screwed, say, in the final. And at least then you're guaranteed some good matches along the way with AJ. And then again, a year will be up, a month after Bound for Glory anyway.
Yeah,
So that's that. And then your main event, Austin Aries against Jeff Hardy in a ladder match.
Yeah, it should be tremendous.
So, yeah, it should be tremendous.
That said, I will probably watch on, YouTube or whatever. That main event, maybe one or two of the other matches if I hear they're good, the three-way. It's really difficult to imagine me, coming over here and saying, let's be one of the 7,000 people ordering this.
Yeah, me too. In the snow.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking, I already got to drive home tonight. Normally it's about a 25-minute ride. Tonight, I'm guessing, 2 to 3 days to get home.
3 days just to get warm.
Bad snow out there.
Yeah.
It's brutal. By the time I had gotten here, since the snow had started falling last night, they had reported 250 accidents across the city.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Calgary drivers? Molina.
Yeah.
They are retarded.
Yeah, or I was going to say Cameron.
Drunk?
Yeah. Mm. Well, they won't
Some
tell
of them.
You.
Drunk,
look, everybody's
drunk and working for Wells Fargo?
Yeah. drunk and working for a different bank. But, anyway.
Not at the time.
Everybody's allowed to make a mistake in their youth, right?
No, they're not. 2.8 for Raw.
2.8.
That's it.
Yeah, that's about what you expect.
Yeah. That's it.
My big thing is, I just want to go out talking a little bit more about Ryback and the stuff here.
My big thing is my penis.
Really?
It's true.
That's relative, right? Like compared to the size of your ball.
It's been in your relative.
What do you say about my mom?
I fucked her.
I fucked your mom, Addy.
That's one of my favorite jokes, eh? I fucked your mother. Shut up, Dad. You're drunk in the car.
Oh, did I tell you my latest? tell you my latest joke. That this was tremendous. So this kid, a little kid, Johnny, he's 7 years old. He gets up in the middle of the night and he goes over to his mom and dad because he's having a nightmare.
Mm.
And he steps in the room and they're fucking. And he's like, "Oh my god!" And his dad goes, "Just go back to your room. I'll be there in 20 minutes." So 20 minutes later, his dad coming down. And he hears these noises coming out of Johnny's room. He opens the door and he sees little Johnny fucking his grandma. And he says, "What's that?" And actually, I told this last week.
Huh?
Yeah, I just realized I told this joke last week.
Did you?
Yeah.
I wasn't listening.
I know. It was when you were in the bathroom.
Oh. that's what I
mean. When I was supposed to be singing Girls in Cars.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I love Girls in Cars.
That's a good song.
That is a good song. Robbie Dupree.
We do the best, worst podcast in the world. Anyways, I'll talk a little bit more about Ryback and CM Punk. The thing is, with CM Punk, we talk about who we would like to see him at.
Right.
Against the WrestleMania. But we are fantasy booking. And when I looked at CM Punk, I didn't care who else. I wasn't going, okay, this person take on this person. I have to take this person away as his possible opponent. I was just saying who I want to see him against. Truthfully, without Austin there, especially now that they pulled him away from Foley, I mean, what are we going to see? Ryback against him. Finally, Ryback gets the win at WrestleMania. Like, they're not setting up a single opponent for Mania for Ryback. I mean, I think we see we're not talking about who we want to see anymore. We're talking about Brock Lesnar versus Triple H.
Yeah.
Or The Undertaker. We're talking about Cena versus Rock.
Mm-hmm.
So now you get these other guys who are, like, at the top of the card.
I think Undertaker and Punk.
I just don't see it happening.
I just think of, like, if you're stuck for that.
And then what do you do with Ryback? Where does...
Well, and as I said, I mean, I really like Ryback against Mark Henry.
Okay.
I think that that's...
You should have had Henry come down. Our angle, the word...
Well, Henry is going to be ready to come back at the end of the month, beginning of December. So.
Exactly. So they should have just had him come out early and rip the door off and then leave.
Well, that's true.
But
again, for a Mania match...
Yeah.
For them...
Christian's about to finally come back, too.
Yeah,
at the Evan Bourne, not until the spring.
Yeah.
What was the other injury?
Foot complication.
There was
one more. Hunico.
How
could we forget about Hunico? End of the year, I guess, for Hunico.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just think that's too long of a build for them. Hell in a Cell to WrestleMania.
I think Henry comes out, rips the door off, the entire roster beats the shit out of him, which is what they're doing now on the house tours.
Right.
In fucking Europe, you fucking idiot.
The good old days. With different
brands.
By the
way, is Maddox going to pin Ryback? Get a contract?
He just has to win.
Yeah, okay. You're right. He's going to win by, like, DQ or count-out.
Or count-out, right? Can he be Honky Tonk?
He's going to get a contract.
He's going to get a $1 million contract.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Daniel Pewter?
Yeah, there you go.
That worked out so well.
It is. I mean, it's. Obviously, this $1 million contract at least is a work, but
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think the good old days, as I said, it was easier to keep them separated.
Yeah.
You know, Ryback on Raw, Henry
but I think,
on.
I think you could have done it. I think you ripped the door off, have everybody beat him up, have Henry show up the next night, go, I'm not healthy, and walk out and be gone for another whatever. Then at the Royal Rumble, what you have is Henry's not announced in it. You have Ryback just about to win it. You have fucking Henry come out and push him over,
well,
and then.
Yeah.
And cost him the match.
Yeah.
Right? And then you set up something for Elimination Chamber.
Well, just when they're both in the Elimination Chamber.
They're both in the Elimination Chamber, and that sets them up for Mania. It's not fucking hard.
No.
It is fucking easy. You say it's too tough to keep them apart. That's because they feel like they have to fill all this time with these matches.
Well, that's what I mean,
But this is where, if they knew what the fuck they were doing.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's not, but for them it is. That's why I say it's too long for them.
Yeah.
It is too long for them.
I was thinking they don't have anybody built up for Ryback. I can see Ryback versus Big Show for the title. I can see that happening. But,
yeah, well, that's another
let's
big
say
man.
CM
yeah.
Punk, let's just say Russell, because we talked about it. Or say Undertaker is sitting this one out. Triple H is taking on Brock Lesnar. There isn't that person for CM Punk is your second biggest star right now.
Yeah. Well, and there's nothing for Randy Orton either. Your third biggest star.
Yeah. And we're not including Lesnar, because I'm talking regular full-time guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't really have those two go at each other again.
No.
So, I mean, it's really, they don't have anything, that's, to me, a little disconcerting. I fear the idea of Punk versus Rock versus Cena in a three-way at WrestleMania. So I think that would dilute what they've
built up. Oh, yeah, yeah. You can't, you just have to be one-on-one.
But I fear that they go that direction.
I don't think so. I think you do Taker, Punk. There was talk of him sitting it out, but for, you know, Taker, can you do some TVs and can you work a 20-minute match against Punk? Yes, right?
No, I don't think he says that. I think he says, yeah, I can work a 20-minute match, but not against that guy. That guy's sloppy in the ring. He's a little bit clumsy. His style isn't right with mine. My personality, I've never really gotten along with him. I don't see it.
I think back to the CM, and you don't know how much of it is a work or not when you see this on wrestling, you know, documentaries or whatnot, but Michael Hayes talking about how the great deal of respect that The Undertaker now has for CM Punk. And, I mean, you know, who knows if that's just blowing smoke to say stuff, right? But I would see it. I could see it.
I don't see it.
I just, that's the match that I see happening if...
Not with the way Taker looked last time we saw him when he was out there with Kane. He's so far from being ready for a match, and if he's going to have one, it can't be again. I just don't see Punk being a matchup that works.
I just see it from the top of the card heel, top of the card face, WrestleMania. It's all that they both need an opponent. Here you go.
Yeah, we'll see.
But
if that one falls apart, they're really fucked. Would they really have potential to be fucked with Orton or with Punk come WrestleMania right now?
Well, they do. They really do. I mean,
and that's really amazing to me. You built your company around this guy for this long, and you have him in such a prominent spot at Royal Rumble, and you seem to have nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Now, you said the three-way with, you said Ryback, Cena, and Rock? Was that your three-way?
No, it was Punk. But, you know, it could be that other one, too. That would also be really...
Well, that would be really...
Because they don't really have anything for Ryback, either.
But
again,
I don't think they care as much.
No, I don't care as much. But, again, I mean, could you finally see Ryback finally get the win over for a non-title match against Punk at Mania? I guess, but it sure doesn't seem like a main event. It would elevate Ryback a little bit, but at that point, I already expect him to lose his momentum and do fuck all for Punk.
Well, that's it, exactly. So, I mean...
He deserves a bigger reward for everything he's done carrying that company in a lot of ways here than having... fucking to work with Ryback at main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah. And I just like the Manias as one-on-one matches, but...
Ideally.
Throwing Punk in there, I mean...
But you can do the three-way if it's the right thing. But it's like... Benoit, Michaels, and Hunter was the right thing, so it didn't matter. It was okay.
Yeah.
This is different. This is a rematch to the highest-drawing match they've had at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You don't put in a three-way for it. It's a different thing.
No. Undertaker, Bret Hart, and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Right? Was the right... the right thing. I don't know. It just...
Yeah.
WrestleMania looks... WrestleMania isn't... The problem with WrestleMania is... Sadly, you know what the problem with WrestleMania is? Is Hunter.
Well, yeah, it was him being there against Lesnar.
Yeah,
it fucks everything
it
up.
It does, yeah.
But like you say, if it's not Hunter, then, I mean, it could be, Undertaker. But you're right, it does fuck everything up. But the other, because, I mean, I think Lesnar versus Ryback would be, for more interesting as far as a draw, or interesting for people to see how bad it could be, or good, or stiff, or whatever. It also comes back to, you have so few guys that are legitimately stars. Like, you talk about, your biggest star has his match. And your second and third biggest don't. And you don't have many people at their level. And the guys that you do have close to their level, they've worked with a billion times.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where the inability, at least Ryback's a fresh star, but he's, I hate Ryback, so.
Well, that's the thing, is that I just can't really get excited about Ryback as a top guy and not as a top WrestleMania guy.
No.
So, I mean, when you talk about Ryback, I think, okay, if you're going to have a place for him, that's it. Me, his place is Mark Henry. Big Show.
Hate him isn't the right word. It's just, I want to see a guy like Ryback, fine, but I don't want to see him in the role they envision him in.
Well,
I envision him in a different role than they envision him. That's my problem with
him. To me, the other part with Ryback is, it's not quite the JBL treatment when he goes from Acolyte to, or APA to Millionaire title. Right over the overnight. But he's getting, it's too much too soon.
They jumped a step or two. That's all.
I said, I talked about last time, when he was throwing the couch out and going to fight Miz for the Intercontinental title, I thought, okay, perfect.
Yeah. Give him that belt and let him hold it for 4 to 6 months and then move on.
Let him win that at Survivor Series and carry it to Mania and lose it maybe at the Backlash or whatever after and go from there. But, I mean, now it's just, he's got nowhere to go but down. He's at the top of the card.
Yeah.
And he's coming up to WrestleMania, he's not going to stay there. So, what do you do? I mean,
And you know what? The funny thing is, he's only being pushed down our throats for a couple of weeks. Up until now, he's been getting a push.
Yeah.
But it's being pushed down our throats like, oh, guys, react. He's something special.
Yes.
Like I say, if they react like he's something special long enough, the audience will usually get along with it and jump into it and believe it.
Right.
But sometimes the audience says, fuck you. We don't like this guy. Don't shove him down our throat. And they start to hate him. They start to, you know, we saw that.
Yeah.
We've seen that too. I think Ryback could easily fall into that category.
If they keep it up, he will. Definitely will. I mean, it's, yeah. I want to give a shout out to that England crowd in Raw.
Yeah, yeah.
That was tremendous.
I know Freaks Channel TDE. He was, I guess he was, I don't think he was at those shows, but I know he did see a house show and said that.
Nice.
He really enjoyed it, so.
But yeah, the crowd was nuts on Raw and and SmackDown as well.
Yeah, Wade Barrett seemed like a star.
Oh, and tons of people seemed like a star.
Well, yeah, I mean, Daniel Bryan again, right?
Yeah, Daniel Bryan again. You know, but who was the other that, I mean, Regal, obviously.
Sheamus was pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Over, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was a great crowd.
The only thing I hated
I did not see the SmackDown. I understand the SmackDown, especially towards the end, not such a great crowd.
Well,
back to the same arena? Right
I
away?
I know where it was.
Just,
it was
yeah. A lot of wrestling in that arena, or in that area for quite a quick
The problem was Miz is awesome chant. That was the worst to me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no, he's
no, if he's turning babyface, it's the way that I've always said they should be. The entire roster, faces and heels, should turn on him. He should be gone for a few months. When he comes back, he has a change of character. Like, oh, my God, everybody hates me.
Yeah.
And he's trying to now prove to people that he's not such a bad guy, but nobody believes in him. And you know, it takes a while. That should be the babyface turn story, something like that.
Should he say, I want my country back?
His country back?
Yes.
How is Maurice doing?
Good. She's Maurice.
All right. I think we're ready to get OUT, aren't we?
Yes, I think we can be off like a Jewish foreskin.
Yeah, we are. We're done. So remember, it's Day Sunday, Canada.
Yeah.
Veterans Day in the States. So do everybody take a moment for those people who've made the ultimate sacrifice or prepared to do so for you, please. Mm. And other than that...
Are you talking about the pilot that was driving Hulk Hogan to WrestleMania 6? Is already made...
That's something I'm not making a joke about.
Because
I do think it's a very important thing. So.
Grab the pilots that have already made the ultimate sacrifice. Turn the plane into a nosedive. Hulk Hogan.
Other than that, I'm Moe at We Talk Podcast. no E on my name. And Moe_WeTalk Twitter.
Addy, ADDIE, at WeTalkWrestling.com, at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter, and we are on Stitcher and iTunes. Am I missing anything else? WeTalkWrestling.com is the
blog,
the website. Yeah, Mo wrote a blog. No one's seen it.
Yeah, I thought you were going to publish it. Sitting there drafted.
Oh, is it? I haven't seen it. I didn't even notice it.
He drafted, sitting there for like a week.
Oh, yeah. It's a good
All right.
blog.
Yeah,
all right.
You're going to put up your one about your turning point thing, right?
Yes, as soon as I mean, we haven't watched Impact yet, so I assume they'll announce some more matches, so I was going to wait till then. But
yeah, I assume they won't.
Yeah, probably not. But, well, they didn't have anything with Aces and Eights yet, so other than Devon. So.
No, that's right. Though on the house shows, apparently they've been unmasking Wes Briscoe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That might happen tonight, then.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, because also, I mean, that's risky, especially since everybody has cell phones and it can get out there. So I don't think it's a real surprise, and it hasn't really, because probably 12 people attend the show.
Yeah.
But they have been the last couple of nights unmasking him. So I think there's a damn good chance. Though I think you want to build that up for more of a he unmasks himself because he's going it's a turn. It's a real thing, and you do that at the pay-per-view.
Yes, I thought at the pay-per-view him and Garrett Bischoff would both unmask in turn.
One or both of them, yeah. But apparently they've been doing it at the house show, so I thought that was kind of a different and unique thing.
Well, I just thought they both turn, and then it's your Aces and Eights tag team.
Yeah.
Right? To go after the titles. Titles, right? So, all right. Well, there you go. Well, that's going to do it then. So, in the meantime, and in between time, another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Congratulations, Captain Lou.
Lest we forget.